All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Hey, welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a CW-2 helicopter pilot in Vietnam, in the United States Army. Welcome to our program. I think it's kind of exciting today. We've got Bill Krieger here from Veterans Archives, and we've got, what else have we got? We got Jeff Pierce here from Reese Across America Radio, and we got a cool kind of an announcement coming up in a little bit when I talk with him. And then we've got an interview with our NVBDC Business of the Month that we normally talk to. I do have to make a kind of a serious aside here. Veterans Radio board member Kate Melcher's dad, Joe Melcher, passed away on March 28th. Joe was an Air Force veteran. Kate, as many of you know, was an Apache helicopter pilot and is currently executive director of Fisher House, Michigan. Veterans Radio America and Veterans Radio, it's our thoughts and prayers are with Kate and her family in the next couple of weeks. So anyway, Kate, it's for you. So, all right. Before we get into the actual program, we need to thank our supporters. So I want to make sure that we thank some of our major donors for their continuing support of Veterans Radio. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. Give Legal Help a call at 800-693-4800 or go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, go to their website, nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. PuroClean, known as the paramedics of property damage, each PuroClean office is independently owned and operated. In fact, PuroClean is one of the nation's leading restoration franchise networks and is made up of entrepreneurs, just like you. And veterans get 25% off the franchise fees. So for more information, go to puroclean.com. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information on them, go to va.gov/AnnArborHealthcare. And finally, the Irwin Press Corps and American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you'd like to support Veterans Radio, and we would hope that you would, please go to our website, veteransradio.org, and click on the donate button. Thank you in advance for your support. All right, here we go. Right off the top, I want to welcome Jeffrey Pierce. Jeff is the Director of Media and Military Partnerships for Reese Across America. Jeff, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Dale, an honor to be on your show. It's been a long time coming. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it has been a long time coming, and let's remind our audience what Reese Across America is, first of all.
Well, thank you for asking that question. So Reads Across America does a big event in December, National Reads Across America Day, where we honor veterans with a fresh balsam remembrance wreath in this past year, 4,909 locations in all 50 states and overseas in Guam and Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And we honored just under 3.1 million veterans in 2024. And we're hoping to exceed 5,000 locations for our event this year on December 13th, 2025. And that is one event for Reads Across America, Dale, but Reads Across America is a year-long mission. And we do a lot of different things with veteran service organizations and partnering with other nonprofits. And we have a TEACH curriculum, which is a Gold Star mom who pumps out curriculums every month, K through 12, that get used by public schools, private schools, charter schools. Sorry, my phone just decided to start talking to me randomly. And and so geez, I used to do this for a living. I'm falling apart here, Dale. So we do these our Teach Initiative, and then of course we have Reads Across America Radio, which we're going to talk about more in a minute. But that's a way for us to bridge our volunteers throughout the year. And it's a 24/7 streaming station on all the major streaming platforms, and also available at readsacrossamerica.org/radio. And the other thing I want to quickly mention is part of this year-long mission is we help nonprofits with their fundraising. So Bill Krieger, who's on tonight from Veterans Archives, is one of our fundraising groups. So what we do is we create a custom URL for nonprofits, and for the $17 re-sponsorship to honor a veteran, they can elect to get $5 back for their nonprofit. And so that program gave back $4 million in 2024 to other nonprofits, and in its lifetime has given back $28 million. We have over 6,800 different organizations that take advantage of it. They don't strictly have to be veterans organizations, but any nonprofit can participate. And I'm sorry, there's a lot to Reads Across America that people don't know. So anytime I get a chance, I have a tendency to talk too much.
That's all right. My other question was going to be, how did Reads Across America get started? I know that you're in Maine, right?
That is, yes, sir. That is correct. So Reads Across America started as a private donation from the Worcester family. Morrill Worcester, who's a wreath maker in Maine, made too many wreaths in 1992. They had a relationship with the center, with the Senator Olympia Snow at the time in the early 90s. And Morrill was inspired by a trip to Arlington National Cemetery. He's not a veteran, but as a youth, he went to Arlington and was inspired. And so he got permission to lay wreaths at Arlington National Cemetery in 1992. And every year from 1992 until 2005, the family was so inspired by this, they would go and they would do one section, about 5,000 markers at Arlington. And that was it. It was a private donation. And then in 2005, a Pentagon photographer took a picture of a wreath in the snow. And back in 2005, that went viral on the internet. And we know that things going viral in 2005 was a bigger deal than it is today, right? And people just started sending money. And they were like, we want to do this. We want to help with this. And the nonprofit was born. And from that one location, like I said, now we're up to 4,909 and growing.
So out of 5,000 wreaths in 2005, how many wreaths do you anticipate laying out this year?
Well, we did just under 3.1 million last year. We hope to continue to sustainably grow. And I don't want to make a prediction, but I'm hoping it was more than last year, because the goal here is to sustainably grow the organization, right? Incremental growth, because we don't want to, how do I say this? We're always, you know, we're always looking to grow, but we don't want to blow it out of the water one year, right? And then take steps backwards. So we need to continually grow and have partners coming on board that are going to help us sustain our growth.
Right. But I can't imagine that the Worcester family is producing all of these wreaths any longer. There must be, you know, other organizations that are helping you out with that.
One is still one vendor. I mean, Worcester Wreath, our one vendor, is in Columbia Falls, Maine. It is not the middle of nowhere, but we like to say you can see it from there. And they literally have, it's interesting how they do. And I don't want to get too far off into the
wreath, that's okay. Yeah.
But they have so much, acreage of balsam trees that they tip the trees every 3 years. So sometimes you'll hear about wreaths, you know, that, you know, mass production, they take a whole tree and knock it down. This, they take the tips and make the wreaths in one section, right? And then three years later, they'll come back to that section after they grow back. So again, it's all about sustainability.
Okay. What a great organization, Jeff, and you know, we like to promote it as much as which we will be doing in conjunction with Reads Across America. So if I should have found the sound effect, but
the drum roll.
There we go. Veterans Radio is joining with Reads Across America, and they are going to start playing our programs on their radio platform, right?
Right, exactly. Cool. And you'll hear Veterans Radio on Reads Across America Radio on Thursday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and also the shorter version, the Veterans Radio podcast, at 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday nights.
Oh, I think we're so excited to reach out and, be somewhere else, and just to have the opportunity to expand our market and our listenership across the world. Really, I mean, as I'm sure as yours shows, like ours shows, we have, three listeners in Southern Australia and, one guy all hidden up in somewhere in Russia and so on and so forth. But this obviously opens an opportunity for us and for you. So we will be adding, of course, Reads Across America to our website, a link there, and reciprocal. We'll be going back over the other way, and I'm really excited. So this will be starting this coming Thursday.
This coming Thursday. If you don't mind, I'll just explain a little bit about Reads Across America Radio. Reads Across America Radio is a voice for America's veterans. And what we're doing with the station is, I think with adding your two, we're at a much higher number, but I'm officially saying we're at 75 unique shows until I do the actual count. And I have to use all my fingers and toes a couple of times to get the number, but, we're at 75 unique programs on the channel, and the programs range in content that Reads Across America Radio is producing. Like we produced a podcast for the Military Women's Memorial called Her Story. We produce a couple of other podcasts for folks, and we then air them on our station. As I mentioned earlier, Bill's show. Bill is a partner of Veterans Archives, is on our channel. And the idea is to share as many veteran stories as we can, but also helpful information for veterans. We have financial shows, mental health shows, and it just ranges. And the criteria for being on, and this is going to get a little weird, you need to be a veteran, or it needs to be veteran-centric content, okay? Or trucking.
What is trucking?
And thank you for asking that question. I just came back from the Mid-America Trucking Show. So trucking is a huge piece of what we do. So last year, 90 to 95% of the transportation for that just under 3.1 million wreaths was donated by the trucking industry. So 5,000 is a truckload. We're not going to get into some big algebraic thing, Dale. I mean, but you can imagine, I think it's around 700 loads last year, right? So 90 to 95% of that was donated. And so relationships with those in the trucking industry are important. So we dedicate every Tuesday to our truckers with Trucking Tuesday. So we carry trucking-centric content on Tuesday and trucking-centric podcasts as well, or radio shows from terrestrial radio stations to show our support for those massive donations. Because without the trucking industry, nobody moves, and our organization ceases to exist. So it is a huge piece of what we do.
That is so awesome, and I can't tell you how excited we are here at Veterans Radio to be on Reads Across America Radio. And again, reminding our listeners and anybody who happens to be out there, you can just go there every Thursday at 3 p.m. or Friday is at 7 p.m. and you get to hear my melodious voice again and again. Oh, that doesn't sound right. These guys have got radio voices. I do not. But anyway, we want to thank Jeff for being on our program today. And as I said, how excited we are just to share our content with whatever, as you mentioned, 75 different programs, 75 different themes, 75 different ways of capturing these stories, and as Bill does, and so many other organizations out there right now are really working hard to capture as many stories as we can. So, Jeff,
absolutely,
thank you.
Especially for you, our Vietnam veterans, right? Because we're losing our Vietnam veterans by the day, and having your stories captured are important. So I reserve the right, Dale, to interview you, okay, on our station. Before I sign off, I just want to thank Bill for introducing us, and for his partnership as well, and also beg that he says nice things about me after I leave, okay?
All right. Well, we'll see what what he really has to say. But anyway,
thank you so
Jeff
much.
Pierce, Reads Across America Radio.
Thank
and
you.
We'll be
Tune
there
in this
so,
week. Have
yeah,
a,
this week.
Have
Thanks
night,
very
guys.
Much, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we are going to be talking with Bill Krieger of Veterans Archives, who happens to also be on Reads Across America Radio. I do need to say something. The Medal of Honor segment that we're playing today is the veteran is from World War One, just to make it clear, because I don't think Ken had said World War One when he was recording it. So here we go. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Veterans Archives. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. First Lieutenant Deming Bronson was struck by an exploding enemy hand grenade, receiving deep cuts on his face and the back of his head, but continued to lead his men. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Bronson, although injured, participated in the action that resulted in the capture of an enemy dugout with a great number of prisoners. On the afternoon of the same day, he was painfully wounded in the left arm by an enemy rifle bullet, and after receiving first aid treatment, he was directed to the rear. Disregarding these instructions, Bronson remained on duty with his company throughout the night, although suffering from severe pain and shock. The next morning, his regiment resumed its attack. Bronson's company was left in support of the attacking line. In spite of his wounds, he joined in the capture of the village. After the capture, he remained and participated in the capture of an enemy machine gun, he himself killing the enemy gunner. Shortly after this encounter, the company was forced to retire due to the heavy enemy artillery barrage. Bronson, who was the last man to leave the advanced position, was again wounded in both arms by an enemy high-explosive shell. He was then assisted to cover by another officer who applied first aid. Although bleeding profusely and faint from the loss of blood, Bronson remained with the survivors of the company throughout the night of the second day, refusing to go to the rear for treatment.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Hey, we're back here on Veterans Radio, and my guest for the second portion of our program is Bill Krieger, and Bill is the founder of Veterans Archives, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about that, but I wanted to tell you a little bit about Bill, if I can, as I go along here in my technical skills, which are lacking today, it seems like. Anyhow, so Bill is a former, assistant program director for the VFW National Home. He's retired from the Veterans Program Manager at Consumers Energy, and he's host of the popular Me, You, Us podcast. Served 10 years in the Navy. I also served in the Michigan National Guard and retired with the rank of captain after 21 years. He's retired. He must have had something he wanted to do, so he's decided to start collecting veteran stories. This is what we all want to do. We want to get all these stories out. So, Bill Krieger, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Also, just a shout out to Jeff Pierce and Reads Across America Radio. You can hear us there every Thursday at 5 p.m. Every single week. So we get our stories out that way. Wanted to make sure we got that shout out. And yes, Jeff's a great guy and it's a great organization.
Well, as I'm trying to maintain, control my enthusiasm for having this outlet, for our program. As many people do, we've been doing this for over 20 years now, well over 1,000 programs or 1,000 stories and 500 and some odd podcasts. So it's going to be great to be able to share this with a whole new audience, especially truckers. I like that concept.
Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, Veterans Archives, we're out there collecting stories about veterans or from the veterans themselves. I think that we're unique. There's a lot of folks out there who collect stories or interview.
Oops, I just lost him. All right. Well, we're going to be talking with Bill a little bit and shortly. I'm sure he will sign back on here in just a second. But what Veterans Archives, I'm going to read from their website for you while we're waiting for him to come back. It says veteransarchives.org was founded to ensure the stories of U.S. military veterans live on, preserved in a digital archive that is accessible to all and honors their courage, sacrifice, and achievements. As a nonprofit, we believe that your story matters. Every veteran's journey is captured in their own words and voices, creating a, I lost my mind. He's back, I think.
All right, I'm back. Can you see me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, we just talked about Murphy. Anyway, I was reading from your website.
Just to
see what, tell people what your story. No, I think what you do is amazing, Bill. And if you could tell us how you got started with this, what motivated you to start collecting these stories?
So, I'll give you the Reader's Digest condensed version because I know we don't have a ton of time. But when I returned from a combat tour in Iraq back in 2007, I really struggled with getting back into, society and the civilian world, as a lot of people do. And I found that storytelling really helped me with that. So I got involved with NPR's Moth Radio Hour and USA Today Storytellers Project. And I found there was power in telling my story, in that it helped me deal with things that I had been dealing with. But the flip side of it was every time I went to tell my story, people would come up from the audience and talk about how they were impacted and how they thought they were the only person ever felt that way. And I found that in telling my story, I was helping others as well as helping myself. Right around the same time, or maybe a few years later, I started doing the Me, You, Us podcast for Consumers Energy. And what I found was I had the ability to draw stories out of people. So they could share their stories. It helped them. It helped other people who listened to those stories. It was just a great experience. And I really learned the interviewing process. And from there, prior to retirement from my job, I was really looking for a way to continue storytelling and continue getting stories from others, but also a way to serve my fellow veterans. Because as you know, we lose at least 22 veterans a day, and I think that's a conservative estimate.
That's the suicide. That's not counting the others that are just aging out.
Correct. We lose 22 veterans a day to suicide. And I found storytelling helped me, so I thought this might help other veterans as well. So we put together Veterans Archives and began interviewing veterans and getting their stories. And I think what differentiates us from other people who may do something similar is that it's not really, we don't just sit around and swap stories, war stories. We really capture the whole veteran. And Dale, as you know, you went through our process. We talk about everything from your earliest memories right up through what you're doing today. At the end of that interview, the veteran gets a copy of their story on a memory stick in a very nice display box. We put a story.
You can't see this, but I'm showing.
Yes.
My very nice display box that we got.
Yeah, and it comes with our challenge coin and all of that. And so, the veteran can share that with their family. They can put it away. for later use. But the other thing we do is we keep it in our archives. And you can go to any podcasting platform, look for Veterans Archives, and listen to the stories of our veterans. You can go to our YouTube channel at Veterans Archives and actually see the stories. We're across all social media. You can also go to veteransarchives.org, where there's links to all of that, so you don't have to try and find it yourself. But the idea is that your story matters. Everyone has a story to tell, and their story does matter. And I think it's important for people to hear someone's whole story, not just part of it, because that really shows us the whole veteran. The other piece of that is we really get some insight into why someone had joined the military, and then also what did they do when they got out, and did they use that military experience to be successful on the outside? In total, we have 89 stories archived. Our goal is to add 100 to that this year. And we've already got 27 of them recorded. So if you do it on a quarterly basis, we're on task to do that. As you know, it costs us $250 every time we do a recording. And we never charge the veteran for the service. It's always free to the veteran. But we do rely on grants and donations. Corporations like Consumers Energy have been very, very generous to us. Every year we have counted on them, and they have come through to help us meet our goals, as well as just private donations. We get a lot of small private donations, and every dollar helps us preserve those stories.
Well, we can certainly relate to that part of it. It's always going on. So tell me, because I know you, when you did, we did our interview together, that thing was an hour and a half long. And I apologize for that. I didn't realize it was going to, you got me going on that one. And so how long are your podcasts? Do you edit these down or kind of tease people to go to to YouTube or something to see the whole thing?
No. So we never edit the stories for content. And so if it's a 6-hour story, there's a 6-hour podcast out there for it, as well as a chunk of 6-hour of video. We do a lot of like shorts and a lot of social media content so people can kind of get snippets of it. But we put the whole story out there so that people can listen to the whole thing.
Well, how long have you been doing this?
Veterans Archives has been around since 2022. Our first year out, I think we did like 26 stories total for the whole year. Last year we did 23 for the whole year, and now we're at 27 already this year. So it's very exciting.
Who's the oldest veteran that you've had the opportunity to talk with?
You know, I talked with a guy named Herb Elfering, who was a World War II vet, and he was, when I interviewed him, I think he was a week away from his 100th birthday.
Wow.
And he had an amazing story. The guy lived like three lifetimes, basically, his, you know, pre-war, his during the war, and then all the stuff he did after the war. But the coolest thing was, here's a guy who was downhill skiing into his 90s. And shortly before I talked to him, he had gotten a hole in one at the golf course in Jackson. So it was pretty incredible.
I'm still working on that one.
Me too.
So what did he do in World War II?
Well, it's an interesting story. He had joined the California National Guard because he wanted, you know, some extra income, to be honest. And as part of his duty, his unit was sent over to Hawaii to do some work there. The war hadn't started yet. But while he was there at Pearl Harbor got attacked. And he was a radarman, and this was something that was new. And so his job was to, you know, install and operate the radar systems. And so for 5 years after that attack, he traveled the world fighting the war by working on radar systems, and didn't return home until actually the end of the war.
Oh, gone a long time.
Yes.
100 years old. I used to think that was a long way away. Seems I'm getting there a lot quicker than how I got here. Did you have any, we talked with a guy, his name was Burgett, and he had been with Donald Vergette, and he had been a World War II veteran. He's written a bunch of books about Easy Company. He worked with the HBO special when they did that documentary on Easy Company. And it was, that generation was just so amazing. You know, not only did they, the majority of them, you know, they lived through the Depression, which was a whole other story, as you mentioned. And I know that, you know, with your interviews that you get into before the military, and that would be a great opportunity to listen to those things. And then, you know, then they've got World War II, and then they've got they come back out, and they, you know, they got to rebuild the whole world. So no wonder they're called, you know, the greatest generation. And I admire what you are doing. And I think it's a great service, you know, for the history of our country, and you know, for the younger kids that are coming up now, you know, maybe not right away, but you know, at some point in their lives, they're going to want to know what mom and dad did. And I think you've got that opportunity. Have you had the opportunity to talk to any women veterans?
Yes, actually. Quite a few. In fact, I just recently interviewed a female veteran last week. But I think the one that sticks in my mind is Vicky Kane, who was a mechanic in the Army back in the 80s when there weren't a lot of women mechanics in the Army. And she had an amazing story. We interviewed her at the Michigan Veterans Home, where we have a partnership. We go out and actually interview their veterans. But Vicky had cancer, stage 4 pancreatic cancer, when we interviewed her. And she'd had cancer for about 4 years. So when you think about pancreatic cancer, that's a long time to survive with that. And, you know, we interviewed her just prior to her going to Disney with her family. They all went to Disney after her interview. But when she returned, I got a phone call a few weeks ago that she had passed away, and the family was just so happy and thankful to have a copy of her story. You know, we provide the audio, as you could mm-hmm. see from the box that we sent you, but we also keep the video and put it on YouTube, and they were able to take the YouTube video and have that at her memorial service. And so not only did they honor her military service as part of her burial, but they also just honored her life, because they were able to sit there and listen to her talk about her life in her own words and in her own voice. And they were able to see that. And, you know, what more can you ask for?
I got goosebumps, Bill. We're talking with Bill Krieger. He's the founder of Veterans Archives. And they go around all over the state of Michigan right now. I'm probably, you know, recording these stories. How do I get, if we hadn't met up on this, how do people go about getting these stories recorded?
Well, if you are a veteran, or you know a veteran who would like to participate, you can go to veteransarchives.org, and there's a form you can fill out there, and we'll call you usually that day or the next day to talk about getting it scheduled and making it happen for you. So yeah, if you're interested, or you know someone who's interested, have them come to the website. You know, they can click on the apply tab. There's a very short form, not a lot of questions, and then hit submit, and we'll get right back with you and get you scheduled. And we can, you know, we have several ways of doing this. You can come to our standalone studio. We have a little portable studio, which you got to see, Dale. Mm-hmm. And we can also do it over Zoom, like we're doing this right now.
I think that's cool. So what is the, when we met for the first time, you said you had one veteran that you talked to for like 10 hours or more.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, in fact, we're still interviewing him. He's a Vietnam vet, and he is at the Michigan Veterans Home, and his memory is just incredible, and it's very detailed. And you know, people, when you tell them it's like so far we've got 10 hours of audio and video, they're like, kind of shake their head, like, you got to be kidding me. But when you listen to him, it's like, it's just every time I'm there for 2 hours talking with him, it is such a pleasure. And it's just every time he talks, you're like, really? Because when he was in Vietnam, they got into a firefight, and there was a point where he got shot in both legs and is out in this field waiting to be, you know, medevaced out. And it takes hours and hours, and he's just talking through this whole situation that happened as if he was changing the tire on a car. You know, it was kind of that kind of thing. But his whole life, you know, he's a pilot. He flew airplanes and helicopters, and, you know, he sold cars for a while and owned a consulting business. And, you know, his time in the military was like maybe 3 or 4 years, but his whole life story is just this incredible thing. And what a gift to give to people who either knew him or even didn't know him, you know, to hear about his story.
Right. I couldn't imagine that. I'm thinking about, you know, what you're talking about, that, you know, somebody got wounded. I was so lucky in Vietnam. I guess I learned how to duck, or I could make myself a lot smaller than I really am. And so I always think that I'm very fortunate. I couldn't imagine being wounded out in the middle of some of the places that we were, jungles and swamps and rice paddies and everything else, and have, you know, just have it going through your mind of now what? I'll bet you become so aware of everything around you.
Yeah, and that's kind of what he talked about. Because I asked him about that. Like, you know, when I was deployed, we carried tourniquets with us. But at that time, that wasn't really necessarily a thing. And he told me how he had piled up some gravel and some dirt and was able to apply pressure to his legs to stem the flow of blood coming out. He just tells it in such a matter-of-fact way. Like, yeah. I think that I would have been freaking out probably. But he was not. And it's just like this incredibly calming story that he tells.
Well, I think it's just great. Jeff, you had a chance to talk to any Korean veterans?
We've interviewed a few Korean War veterans. They're near and dear to my heart. My stepfather served in Korea. Unfortunately, he passed away before we started Veterans Archives. But we've interviewed a few. One that we interviewed had a whole stack of letters that he had written back home. And so our interviewer actually read those letters as part of his history. So that was kind of cool.
That would be cool. I was thinking of letters that I might've written at home. And cause we would, you know, we'd have to put secret code in there sometimes because some of our missions, quote, classified and all that stuff. Anyway, so our missions were classified because we were flying into another country that was not participating in this whole thing. And my wife still has these letters. I might have to go in and start reading them again just to see what I really did.
Oh, yeah. You know, something my mom did when I was deployed is her and I sent emails back and forth. Mm-hmm. And she actually printed them all out and she has them bound. So it's like 3 volumes of just email between my mother and I. And so that brings back a lot of good memories.
I'll bet. Well, today, with today's technology, you can do that. So I'm assuming after you said that you had deployed, you deployed to where?
I was deployed to Mosul, Iraq in 2006. Okay. Yeah.
What was your job there?
So I was a military police company commander, and we were there to train and equip the Iraqi police force. So we had 14 police stations and 4 provincial police headquarters, as well as the overarching police headquarters in that city. I think we had 217 soldiers in that group, as well as a platoon of infantry. But yeah, every day out there training the Iraqi police. It was not a fun deployment.
I can only imagine. Every Iraq or Afghanistan veteran I've had to talk to is just the conditions were just, you know, so unusual and just terrible. And, you know, you can see why this generation of veterans sometimes is having such a difficult time transitioning back into civilian life, because they had so many multiple deployments. Did you have multiple deployments, or were you lucky only had one?
You know, I was fortunate. I had gone to OCS and got my commission when I was 38 years old. And so this deployment was kind of towards the end of my career. So yeah, I did the one deployment and then did back-to-back company commands. And then went to the went and did logistics for a little while and then retired. So it was just that one deployment. I had made the mistake. I don't want to say it was a mistake. When we deployed, I promised every family member there that I would bring their family member home.
Right.
Their son, their brother, their sister, their daughter, whoever it was. I promised that I'd bring them home. And did not realize just how difficult it was to keep that promise. Now, I will tell you, because of the amazing people I deployed with and the great team that I had, we did bring everybody home. But not everybody came home the same way they left. And that was kind of difficult.
Well, sometimes we come home without, you know, nobody can see all the wounds. And, you know, it just takes a while to get everything unscrambled.
Yeah.
Yeah. In your head. So let's remind our audience, because we're going to go to the other interview about MVBDC here in just a second. So we've been talking here with Bill Krieger. He is the founder and president of VeteransArchives.org, and you can help him. It just sounds like what he is doing is such a great mission to gather as many stories. All of us, I like to think that we kind of started this 20 years ago when we first went on the air, and at that time we were one of the very, very few veteran-oriented radio programs at the time. But our mission is to collect as many stories as we can. And I don't care who collects them or who gets them. It's just that we got to get as many as we can. So if you would love to have a good long interview with Veterans Archives, you need to go to their website and fill out their form, and Bill will get a hold of you. And he does a great job. He's a great interviewer. And I was very excited when I was done. I was nervous when I started, but you can tell I kind of got into it as we went along. So, Bill, I wanted to thank you so very much for what you are doing and for being on our program today.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, Dale. And remember, veteransarchives.org. You can go out and see and hear Dale's story, too, to get a flavor for what we do. But again, veteransarchives.org. There are links to all of our social media. And our YouTube channel and our podcast are all right there, as well as if you would like to share your story, please fill out the form.
There you go. And we'll be touching in, because now both of us are on Wreath Across America Radio.
Yes.
Which is exciting for all concerned. It's just another outlet for you to hear the stories. And I encourage you to go to their platform, check out what they've got. You know, he said they had 75 different programs on their platform, and I think that's kind of neat. I have to go check them all out myself for that. But Bill, thank you very much for being on today's program, and we'll be talking shortly, I'm sure. Okay, that was Bill Krieger from VeteransArchives.org. I encourage you, really, go check it out. It's really kind of cool. You know, I've been lucky and fortunate enough to be interviewed quite a few times, but nothing like this one. This was the most in-depth interview I think I've done since I got home. I mean, I can't even describe it for you folks. It was fun. It was emotional. And he got pulled some stuff out of me that I hadn't remembered in 50 years. So anyway, go visit that. All right. We're going to go into our interview right now with NVBDC. That's the National Veterans Business Development Council, and Jim will be talking. Jim Falzone did this interview, and he is going to be talking with a member of NVBDC. So we'll go to that right now.
Welcome. I am Jim Falzone, and this is Veteran Radio's Spotlight on National Veteran Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, which is a nonprofit. It's the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses, really of all sizes. It was established in 2013. It addresses the growing need to identify and certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses for use in the commercial or corporate marketplace, as well as the government contracting. NVBDC administers a rigorous certification process designed to withstand the scrutiny of governmental and corporate entities seeking to utilize certified veteran-owned businesses. And we want to welcome to Veterans Radio Douglas Heath. He's the president of Bravia Services, who is veteran-owned, and we're going to talk a little bit about him, the business, and the certification. Doug, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we always like talking to business owners who have continued to advance their professional goals. Bravia is designed, if you will, to support a variety of pathways because you're in the recruiting and staffing business. Tell us a little bit about Bravia.
Yeah, so you know, I always say it's important for me when I talk about Bravia Services to also talk about why I started it. So I was a partner in a company, but a different company, and along the ways, even then, I was volunteering and helping veterans. I actually won the 2017 Patriot Award and the 2019 Above and Beyond Award from ESGR. That stands for Employer Supports for Guard & Reserves. And it was something that, you know, I got a lot of value out of personally. And I decided with my wife's support to sell my equity in that business and start Bravia Services, really just to help veterans. Guys and girls coming off of either active duty or deployment, help them find jobs. And initially I was going to set it up as a not-for-profit, but you can't get certified as a not-for-profit. So we are a certified company through the NVBDC and the SBA. And we have three verticals to our company, or three pillars, like we say. You mentioned staffing, consulting services, and that was really my background. I'm an engineer. And I worked as an engineer first, and then I got into consulting, and I did consulting for about 25 years. But a lot of veterans come out, and, you know, as a veteran, you're used to working with your hands maybe a little bit more. And, you know, I found that there was a lot of roles in kind of construction field. So I actually acquired two small construction companies to form our second pillar. So our first pillar is that staffing consulting. Our second pillar, which is construction, and again, keep in mind that our goal is to help veterans, service-disabled veterans, their families, and disabled people find jobs. And then along the way, I had clients because of my background in consulting and whatnot, and my background was really supporting Fortune 500 companies. I had negotiated a lot of contracts. I had people reach out to me, said, hey, can you just help me negotiate this contract, or what would you do here? And I was just doing it as favors to people. And some of my clients said, hey, I don't want you to do this as a favor. I want to pay you. I want to make it worth your time. And so it kind of just grew organically. And it's our third pillar, what we call procurement services, where we help people source either hard to find parts, or a lot of it is safety products. And a lot of it's safety products, honestly, on construction sites and manufacturing facilities and stuff like that. But it's also our software. I mean, we're actually sourcing a lot of software for different states and stuff like that. So our three pillars are really consulting and staffing, construction and engineering services, and then procurement services.
Now, what year did you start Bravia Services?
We started in 2023. So we're 3 years old, basically.
And at what point, Doug, I mean, you had obviously had this, hey, I want to help veterans, there's an underserved niche. I can relate to these guys because of my time in the Ohio Air National Guard, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But at what point did you say, I really need to be a certified veteran-owned business?
You know, that's a great question. Pretty early on, you know, having worked as a consultant, like I said, for 25, 30 years, and working with a lot of Fortune 500 companies, they're all busy, right? Everybody's busy. Nobody has time. And what the NVBDC does for corporate America, for companies in general, is it gives them an easy button, right? They know if you're certified that you're legit. You know, the NVBDC goes through a pretty rigorous process to make sure that you're real. I mean, the Department of Defense has a definition of a veteran, and the MVVDC follows it to the letter. So companies know that if you carry that certification, that they are working for a veteran-owned business, not just the front, right? They know that you're certified, you're running the business, you're active in the business, you have control of the business. So I recognized pretty early on that this would really be an important thing for me to get.
And it is a rigorous process. There's some time, resources, cost associated with it. From your viewpoint, has it been worth the effort that you had to put into it to get to the certification level?
100%. I wouldn't even hesitate to say yes. One, the people at the MVVDC are great. Every single one of them. And, you know, I've been fortunate to be on panels with them and talk to them. They make it about as easy as you can. It's not easy. And I'll be the first to admit paperwork is not really one of my strengths, but, you know, they make it about as easy as you can while also holding you accountable. But I will tell you, like I said, you know, some companies more than others, but a lot of companies want to work with veteran-owned businesses for a variety of reasons. And if you have this certification, they know that they're working with a veteran-owned business that's controlled by the veteran and run by the veteran.
As you said, that's kind of the easy button. That's really interesting. It's a great way to phrase it.
Yeah, that's the phrase I've been I've kind of used that now, the easy button. You know, I like to be, you know, we're an easy button, not just the fact that we're certified, but you got to be easy to work with too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and the MVVDC is great.
All right. Anyhow, so that was our MVVDC highlight of the month. That was Jim Falzone. You know, and that's a great organization. For those of you that have a small veteran-owned business out there and you want to do business with the federal government, these are the folks that you need to talk to, NVBDC.org. They take you through the whole process. I got a couple of real quick announcements to make. One is coming up, and that's a fundraiser here in Southeast Michigan that many of us like to participate with, and it's Fisher House, Michigan. And for those of you that are not familiar with Fisher House, these are like Ronald McDonald houses for VA medical hospitals. They provide housing for families while the veteran is getting care inside of the hospital. So we have one here in Ann Arbor, and they're just opening another one in Detroit, and they're hoping to they're looking now at a couple of other ones here in the state of Michigan. And they're having their big fundraiser. It's called Song of Service this year. It's going to be on Saturday, April 5th, and it begins at 4:30, and it's going to be at the Book Tower in Detroit, Michigan. If you'd like to attend or you want to find out some more information, you need to go to their website. That's fisherhousemichigan.org and click on events, and you'll be able to go to this thing. It's going to be fun. The host of the program this year is Doug Brady or Bradley, and Doug is he's an expert on the music of Vietnam, and that's what it's called, Song of Service this year. The other thing I wanted to mention to you in passing is that yesterday, the 29th of March, was Vietnam Veterans Day. And this is fittingly, it's the 50th anniversary of the closing down of the Vietnam War. It's hard to even talk about it anymore. But 1973. So it's a fitting day. It was chosen to be observed in perpetuity, as March 29th was the day the United States Military Assistant Command, better known as MACV, for those of you that were there, was disestablished, and also the day the last U.S. combat troops departed Vietnam. In addition, on or around the same day, Hanoi released the last of its acknowledged prisoners of war. So for those of you that served in Vietnam, or those of you that have a relative that served in Vietnam, this is kind of a good day. And it's a great opportunity for you to welcome them home, give them a hug, whatever they need, and thank them for their service with us. Serious, you know, people thank us for our service, and we were just doing what we were supposed to do. So, yeah, National Vietnam Veterans Day. It's a great opportunity. Next week, by the way, is our benefits program, and I need you to come and send us information. We'll be back next week on Veterans Radio. So until then, this is Dale Thrumberry for all of us. You are dismissed.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with light from above. From the prairies to the oceans white with foam.